All right, in 1 John chapter 5, we want to begin reading in verse number 1. And we're going to read down a ways. We're not going to get as far tonight as I thought that maybe we would. But we'll still look at this. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" My Father, I thank you tonight that you love us. I thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture, and I pray, Lord, as we try to understand the difference of who we believe and what we believe and what we take into our heart and what we understand, Lord, what a difference it makes in our life. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would help me to deliver something to each person's heart that would be a blessing and an encouragement and a help as we go throughout this week. I pray, Father, for victories. Thank you, Lord, for that possibility. In Jesus' name, amen. As I look at this portion of Scripture, first off, in verse number 1, I find the Bible says if one loves the Lord, they're going to love the people that believe in him. They're going to love him. Take your Bibles and go back to chapter 4 for just a little bit. And verse number 20, maybe just across the page from you. The Bible says in chapter 4, beginning in verse number 20, the Bible says, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar." That's pretty plain, isn't it? "For he that loveth his brother not, loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Notice that's not a request, that is a command. And so we visited about that just a little bit last week, and God simply says that if we love God, we're supposed to love other people that are saved, born again people. We're supposed to love those people. So it says it this way. It says, "Everyone that loveth him that begat," that's Jesus, "loveth him also that is begotten," that's other believers, "of him." And so the Bible's pretty plain about that. And so I ask you tonight a question. Do you have trouble loving believers? I have trouble sometimes loving people who say they're believers, but there's no evidence in their life. Oh, I love them. I have a concern for them. I have a burden for them. I'd like to see them saved if they're not saved. And if they are saved, I'd like to see them quit acting like the world and start acting like God's people. I have that burden and that concern, that love. But it's not always easy to love people that say that they're saved and they don't act like they're saved. Verse number 2, we ask ourselves the question, do we love the children of God? Do we really love the children of God? Now, we're commanded in verse number 1 to love the children of God. But in verse number 2, we ask the question, do we really love them? Now, if we love the children of God, it would be regardless of some things. It would be regardless of their habit, the past. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't know if, I just don't know. I know the background that he was saved out of. I know where he came from. I know what she was. Preacher, you want me to love them. You want me to love him, love her. Preacher, I'm just not too sure about that. Let me ask you, could you love the Apostle Paul? Could you love the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, on his own admission, was a murderer. And yet the Bible tells us we're supposed to love them regardless of their past. Regardless of the past. Somebody says, well, they might slip and go back into it. Yes. And somebody who's never been in it might get into it too. And so we need to understand the Bible says we're supposed to love them. The question is, do we? Do we in spite of the habits of the past? Do we in spite of their past reputation? You know, sometimes people pick up a reputation, and that reputation will precede them wherever they go. It goes out before them, and it paints not a very pretty picture. And sometimes we say, man, if we love them and they start coming to our church, that could be a bad thing. I don't know if I could do that or not. Well, the Bible says in verse number 1, God has commanded us to love them regardless of their past reputation. Somebody says, well, you know, I could love them as long as they have some social status. Whatever that is. You know, I'd have trouble loving them if they didn't have some kind of status, some kind of position, some kind of prestige. I'd struggle loving them. I could love them if they were the same color as I am. Boy, a different color, I might have a problem with that, someone might say. And so the Bible says that we're to ask ourselves the question, do we love the children of God? And God tells us how to find out. He said, you can't love God without loving my children. And so he's already told us over here in chapter 4, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. And I know people that'll just flat tell you, I don't love him, I don't like him, I don't want to be around him, I don't want them around me. And yet they'll sing the songs of Jesus and loving Jesus and one thing or another. The Bible says that if we love God, then we can love his children. And then he said, here's the evidence of whether or not we love God. So God says, now here's the evidence if you love my people. If you love me, you love my people. Well, how do I know if I love you? Well, the Bible says you keep his commandments. You know, clear back over in the Gospel of John. John said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If any man love me, he will keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Jesus three times in one chapter tells us that the evidence of us loving him is obeying him. And I think that's probably obedience, just doing what we're supposed to do, doing it with a good attitude when we're told to do it. And then in verse number 3, he tells us how we can really know if we love God. So he says we keep his commandments. We talked about that just a little bit. And then he says his commandments are not grievous. You know, when we read through the Bible and it begins to talk to us about our dress, about our actions, about the words we speak, about how our heart is the pool from which are drawn the words that we speak, and how we need to have our hearts right before God if our tongues are going to be speaking right. And God talks to us about cleaning up our heart and being right before Him that way. And we think, man alive, that's kind of tough. God starts talking to us about our finances. And you won't be saved very long before God will talk to you about your finances. Finances have a big part in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking about no man can serve two masters, he was talking about money. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven and hell. Talked more about hell than he did heaven. And talked about more about money than he did heaven and hell put together, I believe. And so the Bible testifies that his commandments are not grievous. And sometimes, you know, I used to joke about when I'd go to the book of Malachi. You know, Malachi chapter 3 has more in it than just the fact that of speaking about God robbers. It has more in it than that. But if you get into to a Baptist church where there's mature Christians and you say Malachi chapter 5 or chapter 3, they go, ooh. Because they automatically think you're going to be speaking about tithing and giving. Well, the Bible says that if we love the Lord, not only do we keep His commandments, but listen now, His commandments are not grievous. Now, let me give you the definition of grievous. Boy, this is eye-opening. Grievous, causing severe pain. Grievous, causing suffering and sorrow. Grievous is oppressive, and it's imposing. It's a burden. The costs of doing this outweigh the gain of doing this. Kind of sounds to me like a root canal with no deadening. And yet I know people, when you sit down with this book and say, this, in this situation, this is what the Lord would have you to do. Right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right down the line, A, B, C, D, this is what God would have you to do. They, oh, man. You know the problem? The problem is we don't love the Lord like we're supposed to. Because if we love the Lord like we're supposed to, we keep His commandments, and they're not grievous to us. They're not a trouble, not a burden, not a weight upon our life. And then notice in verse number 4, He says, "For whatsoever." Now, there's a real, what would be the right word? There's a real impressive word for a person. For whatsoever. Do you know that sometimes God calls you a what? Right there. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, we've talked about this before, but it's so evident here we need to mention again. In verse number 4, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh. And those two letters on the end of that word, overcome, two letters, T-H, means that it's right now, it's present tense. It means it's an ongoing thing. It means that this victory is an ongoing thing. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh. They continue to have victory over the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so if we're going to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us, we're going to have a faith that will pass the muster, a faith that will pass the test. Now let's notice some things about faith tonight that I think will help us out a little bit. Because if we have a lack of faith, guess whose fault it is? Do it this way. If I have a lack of faith, guess whose fault it is? It's my fault. Take your Bible, keep your place here. We'll be back in a little bit, for a little bit. But notice with me, if you will, in the book of Romans chapter 10. We make reference to this, but it'd probably be good if we saw it. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now don't raise your hand, but have you ever had a time when you said, I... Well now, with that only happening once, I don't know if the Lord was agreeing or disagreeing. I think agreeing, amen. And so, have you ever thought, you've been in a situation and you thought, boy, I need a faith lift. Not a facelift. Not a facelift, like some politicians I know. But a faith lift. I need my faith to be increased. I need my faith to be made stronger. How, preacher, can I have my faith to be made stronger? Well, according to that verse in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. If I don't have enough faith, the only way I'm going to have my faith increased is to spend more time, listen, in obedience in the Word of God. It doesn't do any good to read it and have God build up our faith only to have that deceive us. The Bible says let us be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so if we read it and we're not acting upon it, then we're just going to deceive ourselves. And so we need to be active, and we need to be involved in the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God and read the Word of God and read the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. I am a great proponent of the Word of God on tape, and listen to it and follow along in your Bible. I remember one time I was in Austria listening to an English reading of the King James Bible, and I was following along in my Bible, and all of a sudden what he said and what this said were two different saids. And so I stopped and went back, rewound it, and listened again, and rewound it and listened it again. And finally I sat down and I wrote a letter to the people that had made the recording, and I said, you made a mistake there. And I kept watching then and critiquing, and I found five or six different places where the recording was different than my King James Bible. And so I compared King James Bibles, and they were all the same. And so I had to come to the conclusion that maybe this recording was not exactly what it ought to be. And so I reported it, and they thanked me. And I don't know if I ever did anything about it or not, but they said thank you anyway. But to hear the Word of God and to follow along with your eyes, I think is a way that we grasp things that we don't normally grasp. I think it's helpful if you watch for a certain thing. Now, in my Bible, not so much in this one. I haven't practiced it as much in this one, but my Bibles that I've had for a while, you'll notice that all through my Bible, the word all, every time I read the word all, I circle it because it keeps my mind on track. It keeps my mind on the Word of God. And I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but I can't just float through it. I have to read it and heed it and understand it and act upon it. If I do that, my faith will be increased. And the Bible testifies here. It says, "And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So if the world has its foot on the back of your head and pushing your face down into a mud puddle, maybe you need to shake it off long enough to start reading the Bible more, heeding the Bible more, aggressively reading the Bible, spending time in the Word of God, and spending time with the God of the Word. If we'll do that, our faith will grow, and our faith will be increased, and a victory will come into our lives. Now, we're living in a time when people wrongly think that when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be exactly the same. That in eternity, everybody's going to be exactly the same. Well, a couple of things. We'll go to a Bible verse here in a moment. But didn't the Bible say that he that's been faithful over a little will be made Lord over much? And talk about if we've been a good ruler here, we'll be a ruler there. And I think there's a lot of differences, but we'll go to that in a minute. But first, go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 9. As we think about our faith growing, how that can benefit us, what that can do for us. In Matthew chapter number 9, if you will, please. And we're going to pick this up in verse number 27. And the Bible says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord." Well, who's gonna stand in front of the Lord? And the Lord said, "Do you think I can do that?" And he said, "Nope, I don't think you can." Only a fool would do that. And so they say, "Yea, Lord." Verse 29. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you." So I began to think about that and wonder about that. And God knowing what I'm going to do tomorrow and where I'm going to be tomorrow and the faith that I'm going to need to have victory over the world tomorrow, I wonder if I read enough Bible, heard enough Bible, studied enough Bible, been around enough Bible, that I'll have sufficient faith to overcome the world tomorrow. You know, athletes, they have a special diet and they eat certain foods and they have regimens that they live by because they want to overcome the next opponent. They want to be victorious over the next person that they go up against, whatever the sport might be. I promise you, tomorrow the world's out to get you. And so the question is, are you going to be a present overcomer of the world, or is your faith going to fail you? If you need a facelift, if you need a faith lift, if you need your faith increased, then you need to spend more time in the Word of God. You remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the devil possessed
boy's daddy met him there. And Jesus asked him if he believed. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And there he was talking to the living Word of God. And the Word of God gave him faith to believe that God could meet the need in his boy's life. And he did. Very successfully. And so we need to understand that when we go out into the world tomorrow, even tonight, as we go out and face the world, our faith will either be victorious or it will be defeated. We'll be more than conquerors or we will be conquered. And it's just simply as easy as that. And everybody, according to this portion of Scripture, everybody is not given the same amount of faith because everybody doesn't read the same amount of the book. We marvel at some of the things we know that faith has done. It's amazing and it's encouraging. But when I see those people that are giants in the Bible, giants of faith, it seems like they had a history of just spending time with God and spending time in the things of God, having their faith increased and their faith made better. Take your Bible now and go with me. I mentioned before that people have the idea that everybody's going to be the same when we get to heaven. We've kind of got this communistic idea. And incidentally, our nation is headed that way, in case you don't know it. And the only way that it's going to change is for people to take a stand on it. But communism, you know, communism says everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. Well, that's not even true. When I went to Romania the second time, delivering Bibles and such to Romania, Francesco was in charge there, I met a young couple in Bucharesti, Romania, and they were new physicists, a very highly educated young couple, and they were very disappointed in the promises of communism, because they said, they tell us communism makes everybody the same. But he said, here in Romania, every month that my wife isn't expecting a child, she's penalized, she's taxed, she's punished for not being pregnant. She's punished because she's not putting enough children on planet Earth, because Ceausescu says we need to have this many people for the army and this many people to labor and this many people to take care of me. And so every woman has to have a child. And they pumped that up and pumped that up. Well, then he learned that over in China, where communism reigns, that if you have more than one child, they make you have an abortion and you're fined and maybe even put in prison. He said, I don't see that everything's the same there. And I think that's one of the fallacies of communism. But notice with me now in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 17 for clarity. The Bible says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. You ought to note that word. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So much for communism amongst Christianity. As your faith is, so your victory will be. And you can't live on another person's faith. Nor can I live on another person's faith. I've had a lot of very faithful people around me. I've been blessed to know a lot of very plain people that had great faith. And their faith encouraged me, but their faith didn't serve my problems. Didn't take care of my problems. The Lord was waiting for me to trust Him enough, to believe Him enough, that He could give me the faith that Him and I together could conquer this problem, whatever it might be. And He wants to do that for all of His people. The Lord is hampered our unbelief. And we need to understand that. Let's go in our Bibles again. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning in verse number 53. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence. And when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brother James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in Him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." You know, somebody says, God can do anything. No, no. Our unbelief stifles the power of God. When God said to those blind men, "Do you believe I can do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "Okay, you're going to get what your faith has produced. You're going to be healed according to your faith." And they were healed, praise the Lord. But had they not had enough faith, they would not have been healed. Jesus is not a welfare worker. Again, I submit to you, He fed the 4,000, He fed the 5,000. When He found that they were coming to Him just for what they could get, He said, "Forget it. We're not having any more big meetings like that. I'm not going to do that anymore." Because Jesus wants to be fair. Now, one other scripture tonight and we'll close. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. The thought we're thinking on right now is this, that our disbelief and our unbelief hampers the work of the Lord. And it's up to us to conquer that disbelief. We conquer that by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Mark chapter 16, and notice verse number 14. We know that Jesus has died. He's been buried. He's risen again. And verse number 11. Let's start there. Well, no, back up to verse number 9. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. There it is. After that, He appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. And He said, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Well, now a couple of things. Notice in verse number 14, they were disappointed, they were discouraged, but not too discouraged to eat. They sat at meat. And the Bible says He upbraided them. That's one of the strongest words for scolding a person that there is in the Bible. He scolded them. Not because they were eating, but because of their unbelief. He had told them He's going to rise from the dead, and people had told them, "We saw Him. We saw Him." The men on the road to Emmaus were excited. Did not our hearts burn within us as He revealed the Word of God to us? And they went and told Him, and they didn't believe it. And Jesus, the Bible says, He upbraided them for their unbelief and the hardness of their heart. When a person has real faith, they have a tender heart. They have a compassionate heart. Now, they have a soft heart. Not a soft head, but a soft heart. And they love the things that Jesus loved, and they get upset at the things that Jesus gets upset about, and they want what Jesus wants in their life and the life of people that they care about. But when a man's life is filled with unbelief because of his attitude toward this book, his heart becomes hard toward the things of God. And it's difficult for God to guide him through life like he wants to. Did not the word of God say, "And thou shalt hear a voice behind me, behind thee"? And so God walks with us and he says, go right or go left or stop or proceed or go faster or slower. God speaks to us as we go through life. But he can't if our heart is hard. And our heart is softened as we spend time in the word of God and let the word of God spend time in us. And so the question tonight is simply this: whom are we going to believe? Religious people who have no benefits from the Word of God, or the Word of God itself? In fact, I'll read the verse that I was going to preach from tonight, but I'll save that for next week. But let's bow our heads tonight and talk to the Lord. Father, I thank you tonight. I don't know that I got everything told exactly the way you wanted it told, but Lord, there it is, and it's done, and I pray that the Word of God would do a work in hearts and lives. I pray, Father, that you'd sort out any confusion that would belong to me, not to you, and certainly not to the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, help us to understand that we have a responsibility. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we're to live by faith. We're to enjoy our faith. We're to be people of faith, and Lord, that comes from the Word of God. Lord, as we study the Word of God and we see what you've done for others, our faith grows. Lord, as we study the Word of God and we see your chastening of other people, our faith grows. Lord, I pray tonight that we'd be a people of absolute faith, that you'd speak to our hearts, we'd increase our faith, you'd work in us, and help us, Lord, to do your work in a lost and a dying world in such a way that would please you, glorify you, honor you, and we'd see the results of it. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's